So last class we were discussing about how Sakshi is not the owner of deep sleep state. The objection raised was, why do you have to say that deep sleep state belongs to ego? Because if ego is not there in deep sleep, then how can the state belong to ego? Sakshi is there. So if Sakshi is there, then the deep sleep state has to belong to the one who is there. And in this shloka, it is proven that that is not the case. So first, let's look at the meaning that we were discussing last week, that suptaha suptim na janati. One who is gone to sleep doesn't know the sleep state, doesn't know the deep sleep state. Then only you can say that person has gone to sleep. And asuptehe, asupte swapna jagarau na. And the one who is awake doesn't have even waking and deep sleep. So the point therefore is that Sakshi is, sorry, Atma is jagrat swapna sushupti naam Sakshi, Sakshi. And therefore, atadasha, and is detached from the three states. So where is the proof here? Where is the proof that the state doesn't belong to Sakshi? The proof is in the word itself, that Atma is Sakshi. Point number one is that the one who has gone to sleep alone can say that is in the state of sleep. One who is awake, how can you say that person is in sleep? When you say deep sleep state, who is the deep sleep state for? The deep sleep state is for the person who is sleeping, not for the person who is awake. The deep sleep state was for the person who is awake, then you wouldn't call it as a deep sleep. Who is the food for? Food is there for somebody who is hungry. If you go to a party and then you tell everybody, I'm not hungry, I'm not hungry. And then you get upset. Nobody offered me any food. Then how can you get upset? Because you only said you are not hungry and the food is not meant for you. Like that, you cannot say that deep sleep state is separate from ego, because in deep sleep state, the ego
was within by noon time.
So ego has gone to deep sleep. And that was point number one. Okay. Point number two, in deep sleep state, Atma is the Sakshi. Atma is witnessing the deep sleep state. So what do we mean by witnessing deep sleep state? We mean witnessing deep sleep state means that Atma is illumining that there is nothing. There is an illumination that there is nothing. So when there is an illumination Do we know during deep sleep state this illumination? No. We don't know during deep sleep state that I was sleeping. When do we know I was sleeping? Is when I wake up. So when I wake up, I have a recollection. So then the question we have to pose ourselves is, how can ego have a recollection if ego was not there? How can ego have a recollection if ego was not there? How can you have a recollection that you were not offered the food at the party? It's because you were there. If you were not there, you would not have any recollection. Okay? So, ego during deep sleep state has gone to, as we said, in the causal state, is in the causal form. So therefore, during that state, there is no knowledge. But upon waking up, there is a knowledge that I was there. How can there be a recollection like that? So in order for a recollection like that to be, something had to be there. And that something is the witness. So that witness saw nothing. And that witness observed that state. And then in the morning when we wake up, the ego comes and says, I witnessed nothing. So on the continuity of the Atma, the ego wakes up and says, I was there, but I saw nothing. This is that idea of witnesshood. So Sakshi is the witness of the deep sleep state. Therefore, witness is separate. And Swayam Prakashati ji says, Yo yat sakshi na saha tad dharmavan. One who is a witness, witnesser, that witnesser cannot have qualities or properties of the witnessed. An example he gives is, Ghata sakshi na Ghata dharma. The witness of the pot cannot have the properties of the pot. Because if you have the properties of what you witnessed, then you are not different from what you witnessed. And I know from my experience that I am witnessing. I am able to separate myself from what I witness, what I see. So therefore, I have to be the witness and not the witnessed, the object witnessed. So this was the idea of shloka number 11. So hetu, then, sorry, not hetu, pratignya, hetu, and udaharan. The three things that we have been seeing, right? So what is the pratignya here? That the state, the three states do not belong to Sakshi. First is being established that the three states do not belong to Sakshi. Why? What is the reason for making that statement? The reason is because Sakshi is the witnesser of the three states. Sakshi is not the the owner of the states, doesn't have the arrogance about the three states. So because he's the witness, separate from the three states. And the example is Ghata Sakshi, na Ghata Dharma. Like how the witnesser of the pot is not same as the properties of the pot. Okay. This much is good enough for shloka number 11. Gopal Krishnanji, did you want to share the thought from Mandukya Upanishad?
You said the reason for that. That means there is no property for the Sakshi. So Sakshi cannot experience because it has no properties. In Mandukya Upanishad, it said that the Vijnana Khana, everything is in a homogeneous mass. Everything is present there, but it is as a homogeneous mass. Prajnana Khana, that is the word used over there. So only when we wake up, when the ego is present, we know that we had a good sleep. So actual experience of what happened is not possible. It is only the ego has the experience that I had a good sleep or something like that. What is actual happening is not aware.
Correct.
So that is what he says. I was trying to present it in a nutshell.
Yes.
So this state is like that. So it is the homogeneous prajnana khana is important word used there.
Na prajnam, na prajnam, no bhayata prajnam.
Right.
That.
So yes. this is previous of that. It says the omityeda daksharam brahma. Then it has four quarters. Those four quarters cannot be separated. It is continuously while you are wake in a waking state, you cannot be in sleep state. When you are in sleep state, you cannot be in deep sleep. It goes like that. All these states, there is something which is witnessing that. It goes on like that. I don't want to take too much time on that.
Thank you. So that is the idea with shloka number 11. That the state do not belong to Atma because Atma is a Sakshi of the three states. Now, taking it a notch up, in the next shloka, why do you say that Atma is a Sakshi of the three states? What is the logic for you to say that Atma is a Sakshi of the three states? Now in next shloka number 12, it will be proven why Sakshi is Sakshi. Vijnana viratis suktihi. Tajjanma swapna jagarau. Tatsakshinah katham mesyuhu. Nitya jnanasya te trayaha. Vijnana viratis suktihi tachanma swapna jagarau tatsakshinah katham yesyuhu nitya jnanasya te trayaha. Very nice word. Vijnana viratihi. Viratihi, prati means a flow. Motion. Viratihi, no movement. Vijnana viratihi, vijnana, knowledge. where there is no knowledge, absence of knowledge. Vijnana viratihi suptihi, sushupti. So what is happening during the deep sleep state? There is absence of knowledge. And the word used is vijnana. Vishesha jnana. Vishesha jnana means specific knowledge about something. So in deep sleep state, there is no specificity about anything. There is no knowledge at all. So that knowledge which can be specified by the object perceived, that is what is called as vijnana, visheshajnana. Here vijnana is not the atmajnana. So we should not understand here vijnana as the knowledge of the self. So vishayajnana or visheshajnana, specific knowledge about the object of the world, that specific knowledge, virati, is absent, is gone, is not there. When? In deep sleep state. But janma. This vishesha jnana's janma. So the birth of this specific knowledge. That janma, swapna, jaga. And when the specific knowledge arises, that is what we call as swapna avastha and jagrata avastha. And to give us more and better understanding, Swayam Prakashati ji defines what is swapna avastha and what is jagrata avastha. So he says that in swapna avastha, the specific knowledge occurs, but that specific knowledge is dependent on vasana. Vasana maya prapancha vijnanam. So that specific knowledge which comes about of the object, something you come to know, but it happens because of the vasana. So in that party, you did not get the food. Now in your dream state, you are having a specific knowledge based on your vasana. So they did not offer gulab jamun. So now you are creating gulab jamun in your mind and you are consuming. That is specific knowledge. But where did it come from? You were not looking at any object. You were not touching any object. It was created out of your vasanamaya prapancha. So that is supnavastha. And sthula prapancha vijnanam, the gross manifested world which we can touch, which we can interact, which we can destroy, that knowledge is jagrat. So in this way, what is specific knowledge and what is non-specific? That defines the three avastha. So what? What are you trying to say? Well, that is explained by the next two lines, that tat sakshinaha. So I am the witness of these three. Why do you say I am the witness of these three? The reason why I say I'm the witness is because I am nitya jnanasya. I am of the nature of eternal knowledge. That knowledge which does not ebb and flow. That knowledge which does not rise and set. I don't have that. My knowledge is nitya, eternal, continuous. So, therefore, I have to be Nitya Jnanasya me katham te trayaha syuhu. I, who am the eternal knowledge, for me, how can these three states belong? Because I'm the witness of them. And my witness tells me I have Nitya Jnana. So what is the reason why I'm the witness? I'm the witness because my witnesshood tells me that I have eternal knowledge. My witnessing doesn't change, doesn't increase when I'm in this Swapna and Jagrat Avastha, and doesn't decrease or become zero, null, void during deep sleep state. Here is the idea. This is that point Swayam Prakash Yatiji brings up. In deep sleep state, you are sleeping. So during deep sleep state, what happened to your knowledge? Your knowledge became dull. You have no knowledge at all, right? And when you have no knowledge at all, then how can you, when you wake up, have this knowledge that I slept well? Sukam aham swapsam. Na kinchit avedisham. I slept peacefully. I did not. You had no knowledge. Where did you get the knowledge? So that must mean that there had to be something present. Same idea, but just in a different way it is presented. Second point that Swayam Prakashitaji raises is, what if you say that this knowledge came about after the ego went to sleep? Okay. That this knowledge rose when the knowledge of the ego went to sleep. Meaning the Sakshi was given birth at the time of the deep sleep. Okay. If that were true, then it raises another problem. What gave birth to this? Who gave birth to this Sakshi? Well, the Sakshi was born because the ego went to sleep. How can one who is going to sleep give birth to somebody else? How can ignorance give birth to knowledge? So ignorance cannot give rise to the Sakshi and say, now you go ahead and witness. The witnesser had to be there even from before for the witnessing to continue. So therefore, how can I say I'm the witness? Because there is no change in my knowledge. My knowledge is eternal. My knowledge is continuous. And then he quotes, Vartikakar. Yes. No, quotation for Vartikakara is in the next one. Okay, so there is no quotation in this one. But the idea is that ego is the one that has a rise and set in its knowledge, whereas the sakshi doesn't. Therefore, the three states are witnessed by sakshi and not the owner of the three states. Just a slight difference is that, that's all. Clear? Simple only. This one is not difficult. So let's go through the pratignya, hetu, and daharana also. From what you can see, the pratignya vakya is that the three states do not belong to sakshi. Why do you say the three states do not belong to sakshi? The reason for making the statement is nitya jnanasya te triya. The three states are going through the ups and downs of knowledge, whereas sakshi is nitya jnana, doesn't change in its knowledge, therefore it has no ebb and flow, and therefore it is a witness, eternal witness. And an example, the example is self-evident. And there is nothing else you can tell about this. So it is very clear in the world that when you go to sleep, you have no knowledge. When you wake up, you have a great knowledge about the world. This type of Atma is, this Sakshi is. Having explained this, now the next part goes is, so in 11 and 12, what is established is the three avasthas do not belong to Atma. Okay. Avasthatraya Sakshi. So now the vikara modifications are found in the jiva, and these modifications easily get confused with, correlated with Atma. So then this question is raised that Brahman is nirvikara, without any modification. But Atma is seen to go through vikaras. Now to prove that Atma doesn't have any vikara, this next shloka is present. So let's chant. Kanchan ji, you have...
Can I ask one question?
Yes, go ahead.
Avasthatra Sakshi, definition of Atma, is a negative statement, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not. So how do you explain negative statement, that part here? We have this positive statement. It is a Sakshi. It is present in all three states.
It is not trying to say that I am, so there the negative statement is said because it is trying to prove that I am the witness of the three states, and that which is witnessed is separate from the witnesser, correct? So therefore you are negating the witnessed to come to the witnesser, which is the Sakshi, the Atma. But why do you say you are the witnesser. What makes you say that you are the witnesser? What is the logic behind that? And the logic behind that is you go back to consciousness. So that point is presented in a positive way with the thought that I am of the nature of consciousness. And of the nature of consciousness means nitya jnana. That knowledge is eternal. That knowledge doesn't change. No matter if somebody loses memory, no matter if somebody goes into coma, none of that has a bearing on the knowledge of the Atma. That is the positive point mentioned by Nitya Jnanasya. So now the next idea is that Atma is seen with modifications, but Brahman is Nirvikara, without modification. How can you say that Atma is equal to Brahman? So now to prove that Atma also doesn't have any Vikara is this next shloka. Shad vikaravatam vetam. Nirvikarohamanyatham. Tadvikaranusandhanam. Sarvatha navakalpate. Shadvikaravatam vetam. Nirvikarohamanyatham. Tadvikaranusandhanam. Sarvatha navakalpate. Shadvikara vata. Vata, one who is possessing. Shadvikara, the six types of modification. What are the six types of modification? Which we all know. Asti, ayam, jayate, born. Vardhate, grow. Viparinamate, matures. Apakshiyate, decays. And vinashate, destroy. So these are the modifications found of BMI. And even the V, vasana. Vasana also has its modification. So these modifications, one who is possessing of them, Shadvikaravatam Veta, the knower of all of this. So the one who is knowing the modifications happening outside of the body, one who is knowing the modification happening with the body and within the body, that Veta, the knower, is Aham. Aham Veta. Where is that Aham? Aham Nirvikara Aham. So that Veta is Nirvikara, is without modification, without any changes. Why do you say that you are not undergoing any modification? Because the one who witnesses, same idea is brought here again. There the witnessing was of the three states. Here the witnessing is of the modifications. So one who is the knower of the witness, the knower of the modification, cannot be the modification. So one who knows, yo yad janati na saha tad dharmavan. Right? Same thing that was presented before. Yo yat sakshi na tad dharmavan. Likewise, yo yat janati na saha tad dharmavan. That which I know, I cannot be. Because if I know, and I am that which I know, then how am I different from the known? That is the point. I have to be separate from the known, because if I am the known, then I become inert. Anything that you know in this creation has to be inert. Tell me one thing that you know and has not died, has not perished. You know the stars. The star is going to perish someday. You know the space. The space is going to be swallowed up by the black hole. There is nothing in this creation that doesn't go through change. Everything goes through change. And that which goes through change is known, is seen, is observed. And if I put that tag on myself, then I also have to go through that change, and therefore I become inert. So that is not correct. And this is where Swayam Prakash Shakti ji brings the quotation from Vartikakara. You know who the Vartikakara is? Vartikakara is Suresh Acharya. He wrote commentary on Adi Shankaracharya's commentary. Sutrakara is Vedavyasa. Bhashyakara is Adi Shankaracharya. And Vartika is the commentary on commentary is written by Sureshwaracharya. So Sureshwaracharya ji writes, नर्ते स्याद् विक्रियां दुखी साक्षिता काविकारिणः धी विक्रिया सहस्राणां साक्षतो हम अविक्रियः. नर्ते स्याद् विक्रियां दुखी. Without vikriyam, modifications, without modification, dukhi, the person who is, you know, has no modification, sorry. The person without any modification is the sakshi. But what is the meaning of is witnesshood? Sakshita ka vikarina. What is the reason to say somebody is a witness when that witness is going through sorrow? If you are witnessing sorrow and you are also sorrowful, then what is the meaning of you becoming a witness? That is the question he is raising. Suresh Acharya. The point he is saying is, don't call yourself a witnesser. If you're going to witness something and you're going to get involved in that, you're no longer a witnesser. And by you no longer becoming a witnesser, you have lost the ability to stay indifferent and enjoy the freedom. You are no longer free. So therefore, you have to go through that samsaric sorrows, samsaric sukha. All of that you have to change. You have to go through that. Then might as well call yourself samsari. And if you call yourself samsari, that is ego only. So by identifying with the ego, we continue to stay in that state of sukhi, dukhi, etc. But if we are calling ourselves witness, then stay different. Dhivikriya sahasranam. Thousands of modifications of the intellect. Dhi. So one who is sakshi, one is witnessing the thousand modifications of the intellect, the mind, that person alone can be called as avikriya, is without modification. So the point here that Swami Prakashiti is trying to make with the first two lines is, the knower of the modification is not going through the modification. Because if the knower of the modification goes through modification, then the knower itself is inert. And inert cannot be sentient, cannot have two at the same time. And then to prove a fault, Lakshmidhar Kavi, he says, okay, if you accepted that the witness, the sakshi, goes through modification, if you accept that the witness goes through the modification, then this has to happen. So he says, anyatha, otherwise, meaning the atma, which is without modification, became modified sakshi. Vikara sakshi. So this atma, vikara anusandhanam, the knowledge of the modification. Anusandhanam means the knowledge. Vikara. Tad vikara. Those modifications, the shad vikara, those modifications, knowledge about them, sarvatha, at all times, in all states. Na avakalpita is not possible. So if you were to believe that sakshi goes through modification, then this modified sakshi will not be able to know all types of modification because your vision is colored. If you yourself are modifying, where are you observing the change? How are you observing the change? You're not. You cannot observe the change because you are always changing. One example I'll give you. Are you aware that we can only see one side of the moon? Moon is circle, correct? moon is always circle. But every time we see the moon, we see a lot of light, and only there are some dark spots on the moon. Right? Because that face of the moon is facing towards the earth. But because now the technology has gone such a way that they were able to send telescopes to the other side of the moon, and they witnessed so many craters on the other side of the moon. From Earth, why can't you observe those modifications? Because the moon rotates, the moon changes its position in the same degree as the Earth rotates. So each time the moon, because the moon is also rotating and the moon is revolving the Earth. So the degree in which the moon rotates is also the same degree in which it revolves. So as it changes and it revolves, we never get to see the other side of the moon. So this is the idea that which always changes, then it can never know the change. It can never know what is the other side. But one who is steady can know all the change. So this is the proof presented by the Sakya. Here the proof, the point that is trying to be proven is, so let's go to the pratignya, hetu, and udahara. Pratignya is that the six vikaras do not belong to Atma. So Atma doesn't have six modifications. Why do I make the statement? Is because I am the knower of the modification. And one who knows cannot have the property of the known. I am the sakshi of the modification. And what is the example given here? There actually is no example by Swayam Prakashit ji in this shloka. But, you know, we had one example, moon. But you can have so many other examples. Like, you know, two trains traveling at the same speed. For a moment, if they both are traveling at the same speed, you will feel that your train has come to a halt. You will feel that you have stopped. You're not moving at all. And then when that train speeds up, no, actually not speeds up, when that train slows down, you feel you are slowing down. But you're going fast, that train is moving back, but you feel you are slowing down, you are, and that train is moving fast. The point again is, when you are witnessing the change, you have to be steady. Then only change can be witnessed. So examples have not been given, but there are many we can take. Okay. Any questions, thoughts, comments? Yes, Gopal Krishna.
In this stanza, it's a witness cannot be witnessed then, and knower cannot be known.
Yes.
That is what is said here, right?
Yes.
So when I am the knower of all these changes, I am Nirvikara.
I am the knower, I am the Nirvikara. Yes.
Right. So that is what is said here. In the previous stanza, it is said that Sopna Jagara, Sopna is called, Jagrad Avastha is called Vishwam, and Sopna Avastha is called
Tejasa.
So when the self is expressed through our organs, we see and experience the outer world. That is Vishwam. So that is what is said in the previous Sopna Jagra Srishti. So still, I am there as the witness in both stage and third stage too. Manduka Venus goes to one more stage. You may remember that it is to here. It is not, it doesn't come here. So I don't know whether it is coming later on or not.
So the Turiya Avastha itself is not spoken of.
Okay.
But the idea first is raised. You will see so much is being talked about of Sakshi, 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 Sakshi. Okay. So now that Sakshi will also have to be separated. And in order to separate that, one has to say that your nature is also not such. And that's where it goes to that next level. And it talks about the idea of Sat, Chit, Ananda, all of that. But as an avastha.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Kanchanji.
This also probably summarizes the first stanza of Dragdrishya Vivek. The eyes being the witness of the Drashya, but it's not real. That the eyes are changing. So then the eyes is being witnessed by mind, which is also changing. And mind is also being changing. So it is changing. So the finally comes down to a point that Sakshi is the final answer to all the changes. Because Sakshi, the one who is witness, cannot be the witness of itself.
Yes.
So whenever the witness is changing, it is not a real witness. It is a anitya. Only yes. Anitya only could witness all the anitya things. So eyes are nitya, mind is nitya, anitya. Only final witness is only nitya.
Yeah.
So that's, I think the summarizes the whole first stanza itself before it go in detail. Isn't it?
Correct. But the proof you have to catch, the important part is the proof. And the proof is that, what is the proof? That I am the knower. Because I know these states, I am different from the known. That is it. So this topic is going to be talked about a little more. And what is a little more? A little more is said asti and vinashyati. So asti is a vikara, vinashyati is also a vikara, correct? But what about the state before asti and what about the state after vinasha? Sakshi is not a knower of that. Right? You get the point?
Yeah, that raises the question, why can't we remember last birth or the previous birth? And how could he not know our future birth? That's a real question still existing. Why do some people think they know previous birth and why we don't know? And Bhagavan says that I know all the births, you don't.
So there, here is the answer. to that question is, what about that first modification of birth and the last modification of death? How is the Sakshi knowing that? So that we will see. Now for that, it requires a little bit of thinking. So if possible, try and read up on the next verse. So that way you have a little bit of background. So actually it will not come the 14th, it will come in 15, but that is where the thought process is going. So the five modifications, and I'm the witness of the modification. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.
Thank you, Dhiranji.
Hari Om.
Hari Om.